Hello, folks. Welcome back to the Gadget Show podcast. I'm Jason Bradbury.
And I'm Susie Perry. And a huge thank you to CEX for sponsoring this episode.
If you're sitting on old tech that you're not using, I'm talking phones, you know, games controllers, tablets, that sort of thing, trade them in and turn them into something far more exciting.
Or pick up something pre-loved, consoles, cameras, laptops, all properly tested and all with a 5-year warranty.
Check out CEX at webuy.com or maybe pop into one of many stores around the UK for your tech fill.
Hello and welcome to the final Gadget Show podcast of 2025. And what a year it has been. Today we're joined by our very own John Bentley
from Hello.
Fabulous Wrap-Up. Hello, John, are you okay?
I think so, yes. And you?
Oh, yes, very well, thank
Great.
You.
Looking good, John. So it's time for the ultimate tech send-off of the year. So, Suze, to celebrate, we've got five tech categories. Mm-hmm. Phones, computing, audio, gaming and wearables. And we're going to pitch our favourite 2025 release in each category to Mr. Bentley so that he can deliberate and pick our Wall of Fame gadgets for 2025. John, are you up to the task?
Well, I'm certainly ready for it. Whether I'm up to it is another matter, but I'll do my best.
And not only that, we'll be getting out our crystal ball to see what's going to happen in 2026. What tech chaos can we expect? Right, John, I'll start first. Phones and mobiles first. Apple's iPhone 17 Pro and the iPhone Air, released on the 19th of September. We talked about it a lot when it came out. The A19 Pro chip, it did really well in sales. I don't know whether you were a bit surprised about that, but I was going all around the world at the time, wasn't I? I kept saying, everyone sold out.
And I didn't think it would be, because I wondered if there'd be a kind of collective moment where we'd thought, do you know what? There's nothing that special. I mean, I liked all the stuff they've done with the Apple ProRes RAW, the kind of cinematography angle, because obviously I'm into that sort of thing. But in other respects, especially with that Apple Intelligence being a bit of a limp biscuit, you know, but no, it's been in hot demand, hasn't it?
Well, it has.
The 17 Pro has.
Not so much. It hasn't been so popular. But I suppose it's why I'm pitching it is it's the most polished all-rounder phone of 2025. They had the massive camera jump in there. You did mention Apple Intelligence there baked into the OS. We're still waiting, obviously, for that to fulfil itself completely. A lighter design, ProMotion everywhere, premium, consistent and ideal for creators on the move. So, you know, it was a big commercial hit and the iPhone demand surged late this year, pushing Apple back towards the top of the global smartphone share. So for that's my pick for the phones.
I'm gonna come around the corner with a surprising one, also a phone. It might not be that much of a surprise to our regular listeners and viewers because I've shown quite a penchant for Nothing products in general. I want to pitch the Nothing Phone 3, John. So mid-2025, this thing came out. Priced from around £619. So for a hard-hitting smartphone, a premium piece of smartphone, quite a competitive price, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah.
It's got the Glyph 2.0 lighting system. Mm-hmm. The product design of this phone is something really unique, right? I think it's British by design. Let me know in the comments, listeners and viewers, if I've got that wrong. I'm pretty sure it's designed in the UK. It's got a really distinctive, super clean, transparent design. Mm. This brilliant lighting system and the ability to do all kinds of novel things with a sort of dot matrix mini screen. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Snapdragon flagship tier chip on board. What they call the Clear Nothing OS 3. And 120 Hz, which is always good for a phone in that price range. OLED display, really easy on the eyes. I'm a huge fan of this, in case it's not obvious.
Yeah, it's quirky, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's an alternative. It's an alternative. I remember reading a lot of comments because we went hard against a few decisions by Apple, which I think is the right thing to do as objective journalists in this game. And many of you challenged me. They said, well, then don't get an iPhone then. And I did listen to you. And when I get to the point when I need a new phone, I'm going to be looking at the Nothing. I'm looking at lots of phones, but it really impressed me. I've never owned one. I've only played with it in store, but very impressive.
I think it's safe to say it's been the cult Android phone of the year, really, hasn't it?
I will say there has been a bit of a hoo-ha about the bloatware issue on some of the other handsets, but I'm pretty sure this one doesn't suffer from that because this is their premium model. So the Nothing Phone 3 for me.
Okay, those are your
so
two phones.
So I've got to choose between these two. It's not the easiest choice because I've often appreciated what Nothing has done. I also appreciate the fact that...
It's a bit David and Goliath, isn't it?
Well, and also the fact that I suppose a lot of people frustrated Apple's not changing quite as quick as they'd like in some ways. It's tricky. I think although I appreciate the Nothing phone, I think I have to go for the overall competence of the iPhone. Certainly with the 17 Pro and the 17 Pro Max, I would go with that. If you'd just been pitching the Air to me, I'd be rather less convinced. Yep. I'm not convinced that's the right way to go. And I think the sales have reflected that because the Air sales have been quite poor.
Agreed.
But for this, I would go for the iPhone 17 Pro in this particular pairing. Also, I quite like the fact that the selfie camera now comes with a square sensor, so you don't have to orientate to your camera into portrait or landscape when you're doing your selfies. Anyway.
Okay.
Thanks, John.
Computing, 2025 laptops and PCs and tablets. So my pick for 2025 is the ASUS ZenBook A14. Came out earlier this year in March. Prices from just under £1,000, £999. It's the ultimate forget it's in your bag laptop, I think. It's insanely light at 990 grams, but it's really tough. You know, it's got a stunning OLED display and battery life that just refuses to quit. We're talking 17 to 19 hours of real work and into the mid-20s if you're just using it for streaming. And unlike most skinny laptops, ASUS hasn't binned all the ports, so travellers rejoice around the world. It's this year's hero, I think, for commuters, frequent flyers, anyone who wants maximum portability without living in dongle hell, which... I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in dongle land. It's not the machine for heavy editing. You know, like, I'm looking at you because you've been doing some heavy lifting there. But for writers, producers, students and on-the-go workers, the ZenBook A14 sets the benchmark for ultra-portables, I think, this year in 2025. That'd be my pitch, Mr. Bentley.
Very interesting. Yes, I do know what you mean about USB-As. Having to have... it always frustrates me that about MacBooks that...
Yeah, it
is. So much still is in USB-A world, and yet you can appreciate why they want to change it, because the USB-C is better, but yes.
Well, what about this? I've got something really interesting. So we know, don't we, that Lenovo are really innovative. I mean, they are the Nintendo of the laptop world, meaning Nintendo-produced gaming machines that are always really innovative and unusual, and the way that you interact with the games is much more physical and different. Lenovo have a similar mindset, except for the less exciting category of laptops. And in the shape of the ThinkBook Plus Gen 6 rollable, they absolutely smashed it. So this was one of the big takeaways from CES in Vegas 2025. So that was January just gone. So this thing has got a rollable display. This is what's really remarkable about it. It expands vertically to reveal a 14-inch panel expands vertically to reveal a further 3 inches. So it's 17 inches when extended. It's got an Intel Core Ultra at its heart and stylus support, but really the screen is where it's at. It's proper future tech. Like, it's really out of the box thinking.
So innovative, isn't it?
I think it's really brave. I think if there is merit in being truly innovative and risk-taking, I think this should definitely be your pick, John.
Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it? Because we've got the innovative risk-taker, potentially for the sake of it, but maybe not.
Yeah.
Versus overall competence, which we all need. That's jolly difficult, isn't it?
It's really tricky.
You've
I'm
got
glad
like a
that I'm not
wow
in John's
factor,
position.
Haven't yeah. you, with that yes. wow factor, and then I just use it all the time. It just works for me.
Yes, gosh. I mean, Lenovo have done lots of interesting things over the years with their laptops. I just recall the ones with two separate screens. They're very early with the ones that went around 360 degrees. Mm. Ooh.
Yeah.
I think we've got to appreciate innovation. I'm gonna go with the Lenovo.
Okay.
Good choice, John. Yeah, I think that's a fair choice.
I actually agree.
It's quite, because it's quite a boring sector.
And risk-taking as well. It's risk-taking.
It is. Yeah, and I think, and you know, we don't often see a lot of innovation. You'll get these big moments like when the iPad comes out or something like the Surface, the Microsoft Surface, which is a kind of laptop come tablet. You do get those moments where, you know, it's truly unique, but not very often. And that's why I think it's good that we support
it. We don't get many jaw-dropping moments anymore, hardware, whereas this was a real wow moment at CES, wasn't it?
So I think, yes, for risk-taking in a potentially really rather traditional play-safe sector. Good.
Okay.
Hurrah! Thanks, John.
Quick pause while we say thank you to CEX, who make upgrading tech ridiculously easy.
Yeah, take the tech that you're no longer using, trade it in, and instantly put the value towards something better.
Yeah, everything they sell is pre-loved, it's fully tested, and it comes with a 5-year warranty, so you know exactly what you're getting.
Visit webuy.com or pop into one of CEX's many stores to see what your old gear might be worth.
Let's move on to audio then, shall we?
Great.
2025 headphones and earbuds. My pick of these is... I ran around the world trying to get some of these.
You did, didn't you? I remember you reporting back.
Sold out. The Apple AirPods 3. They upgraded ANC with Adaptive Transparency 2.0. They work really well. Much better spatial audio than before. Lighter. They fit better. I think they're more comfortable. Mm-hmm. Don't know if you agree. USB-C case with Find My upgrades. It's still the smoothest, most integrated audio experience, I think, for iPhone users. And the ANC jump from the previous generation, I think it's huge.
Ah.
It makes music... to me, feel as though it's more live, really. Mm.
Are these ones you can also do hearing tests with?
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah, and also translation. Not every... Yes. Can't do every country, but they do translation, which is really interesting in what's going to happen in the future, and I think they've done it really well. They were called the best AirPods since the originals in early reviews, and I think they're a good pick for this category.
I think they're a very strong pick. Mine, I think, is strong too, but for potentially different reasons. Thanks, Susie. Mm-hmm. I'll put them on.
Just passing Jason his pick.
They even feel beautiful. They're, you know, cold to touch. They've got this beautiful combination of metal and translucent or transparent plastic. I'm talking, of course, about the Nothing headphones, okay? Released in 2025. They feature active noise cancellation, like the AirPod Pro 3s. Custom-tuned drivers. Now, when a company like Nothing says these are custom-tuned drivers, I believe them. And that's important, I think. This is a brand that's really establishing a reliability about it. This is a company that's established itself as reliable, as high-tech, and masters of product design. In case it's not clear, this is the same company behind the Nothing Phone 3.
They
would
go very nicely with your
about.
Phone, wouldn't they?
They would pair beautifully. I should perhaps give them to our adjudicator to have a look.
They look ultra stylish, if you're just listening to this. I mean, they look gorgeous.
I think these are a breakthrough in terms of, you know, design-led headphones, which at the moment has been dominated for many years by Bose. Apple have also produced some good products in that category, and you can't not mention Sony.
Bowers and Wilkins above, but also Sony.
And
very much
Bowers and Wilkins are some of my favourite headphones. Great point to make. Mm. Sennheiser too, some really lovely headphones. Mm. But for me, were I to be investing in this sort of technology, I mean, I've got a pair of headphones at the moment that I'm happy with, but they soon wear out. I would definitely go for these. In fact, you'll probably see these on my head at some point in the next year or so. Sound designed by Kef, of course, so they've got a big brand behind the aforementioned drivers. Yeah, that's as much as I can do for the Nothing headphones. The sound reproduction is very good, by the way. They sound
very
great.
Important. Yes, I mean, there's clearly a lot of positive points with the AirPods. You've got the feeling with they're moving things on a bit with the translation, which is a lot of also improvement of things they do pretty well already, like the spatial audio, but also there's that whole sort of medical grade hearing yeah. tests and compensation for people's changes in their hearing over time. Both innovative in the way, but I think actually the AirPods have more to offer in terms of pushing things forward. And I think I've got to go AirPods for this category.
Yeah, the translation on the AirPods is good. I know it needs to be, it's got a way to go yet, okay, in terms of the question-answer question. It's not quite a smooth interaction between you and, say, a restaurateur or a waiter or a waitress or whatever. Maybe not as smooth as you think it's going to be. It's not quite the Babelfish from Hitchhiker's Guide.
No, that's what we're
just,
always...
Yeah. But it's so still quite remarkable, yeah, it is.
So many things that... Which,
I think it's a good choice. I think, ironically, I mean, how was I going to counter that? A singular device from Apple, actually, and possibly their most important innovation this year.
Shall we move on to gaming and entertainment?
Yes.
Oh, could you, please?
Your favourite. Okay, well, I am going to go, because I've had to be able to jump in first with the Nintendo Switch 2.
It's there, actually, if you'd like to grab
yes,
it. I left it for you.
Oh, thank you very much.
Having played with it in our prep.
Hybrid console, do you want to hold it up?
Of course. Obviously,
handheld and docked 4K. You know the spec on this, John, really, don't you? Custom NVIDIA. It's a larger display, 7.9 inches. It's the gaming hardware story of 2025 without any question. Faster, sharper, smoother, and still the only console that you can take on a plane without any grief. 10.36 million units sold in the first 4 months. It was actually the fastest selling console ever.
That's amazing.
Isn't it? So for that, and that reason, even that reason alone was enough to pitch it. But yeah, the Switch. I think a lot of kids have written to Father Christmas about this.
I'm not surprised. And a lot of adults, a lot of big kids as well. And the magnetic Joy-Cons was something that I thought was a small innovation that they made on the previous
but
Switch.
But you love it.
And it's absolutely beautiful. So my daughter has one. And lucky for me, I won't give too much away, but I get to see her a lot, even though she's still at university. And she's always got a Switch 2 with her, and I always grab it when she comes into the house. Yeah, beautiful. Just holding this, it just feels...
Just lucky that mommy shares, look.
Weight and quality to it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's for me.
Okay, Susie, you have raised the bar, and I think... There's only one way I can go, and it's pretty predictable, right? I want to go with the Asus ROG Xbox Ally X, the device that I'd love to be here holding and showing you.
But you can't get hold of one.
I can't. Despite I've been sniped at every opportunity to try and buy one, it is one of the most sought-after handheld gaming devices ever. It's impossible to get, at the moment, the Ally X version. It's not true. It's impossible to get same day or within a few days or within a week. I could probably go on a waiting list, but I'm far too disorganized to do that. The less top-end version, which is just the Ally as opposed to the Ally X, which I think is slightly underpowered for the job of playing the kind of games you're going to play on this thing, is available. So let's talk about the Ally X, John. This is a true contender for the crown of best current portable gaming console, right? And I mean the Switch 2 and I mean the Steam Deck, basically. They're its contemporaries. Prices, you're paying about £800 for this. Okay, depending on where you get it from. So chipset, AMD Ryzen AI Z2 Extreme. Graphics-wise, it's got another AMD chip, the Radeon 890M. That stands for, obviously, mobile, with 8 gigabytes of VRAM. You've got 24 gigs of RAM on board, a 1 terabyte solid-state hard drive, all running Windows 11. And the screen, it's HD, but it's IPS in nature, so it's a really high-resolution version of HD on an LCD panel, putting out 120 hertz, so easy on the eyes. Great for that frame rate, John, if you want to play anything. But most importantly, and this needs to be understood, this is a portable Xbox.
Mm.
All right? Sanctioned, designed in conjunction with Microsoft. This is an official Xbox console, and that is a big deal. It's the first portable version of one of the most successful gaming consoles ever created, and you can play your Xbox games on it. You can play Xbox Game Pass remotely. You can play games that are installed locally on the device. We're talking Halo, we're talking, you know, Gears of War, whatever your preference is, right? You can play it on this. AAA titles will run very well on this. I'm not going to say they'll run as well as on a £2,000 gaming PC, but they'll run pretty damn great, you know, on the bus, on the train, in your hotel room, at home. It's a remarkable device. It's remarkable that they fitted the level of performance they have for the more hardcore gaming experience. I would argue more hardcore than the epically brilliant Switch 2 in such a small form factor. And it's been really well received by the gaming community. That's why I can't get hold of one.
And it's, you've made it so hard for John.
I know, it's very... I mean, the case for both is extremely strong, I think, and it's very tricky. I mean, I've enjoyed the development of those Asus consoles particularly.
Yeah.
And... but you know, we're talking about best, and I think possibly the sheer scale of success of the Switch 2, and also the fact that so many sort of interesting games, Mario Kart World, Donkey Kong Bonanza, all these. I think it's got to be the Switch 2.
Yeah,
I think I'm going to go Switch 2.
Okay.
I think that's fair.
Well, you're happy with that, aren't you? You love the Switch 2 as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I do. It's a beautiful thing. And Cyberpunk 2077 on the Switch 2 is beautiful. You know, a bespoke engineered version of one of my favourite games of all time.
Okay, let's go on to our next category then. And Jace, you go first with this.
Okay.
We're talking wearables.
So you know that I've been pushing hard since about 1985
for glasses
that give you a head-up display. I just think the old phone, the Egyptian tablet, as I call it, is nonsense, and I don't see why we shouldn't be there already in 2025.
Would that sort of gadget holding?
Well, you've all done it. You've walked down the pavement and you've sort of stopped and waited for the guy to walk into you with his head down on the phone, and. And yeah, I get it. You know, it's difficult to get battery performance for a whole day or anything practical that doesn't heat up and fry your brain. I know how difficult it is as a long-time user of all kinds of, VR headwear and mixed reality headsets like my Meta Quest 3. I'm also a big fan of what's just been announced by Steam, the Steam Frame. And you know that Vision Pro was from Apple was the gadget we opened this podcast with. And I'm going to say that I think Zuck over there at Meta, formerly known as Facebook, may have got the closest yet to that vision of the future in the shape of the Meta display, their smart glasses, which, of course, are not available in the UK.
You can't get them here.
No, it's ridiculous. So I don't know whether you're going to allow me this one, John. But let me just pitch anyway. HUD-style micro display, all right, which those wearing them, which doesn't include me, I'm just going to get that out there, quite unusually... I haven't been over to the States this year, so I've not actually tried them on. But people that I know very well, good friends of mine, have used these and they've said, Jace, they're not bad, actually. They're quite usable. You get notifications. You can use them for navigation, phone calls, music, that sort of stuff. I've heard that they're lightweight, that they don't get hot, and they integrate really seamlessly with Meta AI. And again, that's another user case scenario that I think is very, very interesting. And given, you know, Johnny Ive and OpenAI and their future device, which we might hear something about in 2026, it does feel to me like we could be on the cusp of this wearable next phase of our technological evolution. And this is a really positive, brave step forward that isn't half bad.
Like wearing your next screen on your face.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
Okay, do you want mine?
Oh, yes, please.
Well, I've gone for the Aura Ring. So something completely different. The Aura Ring 4 came out this year. It was about £250 in terms of price. So it tracks advanced sleep tracking, stress and recovery scoring, HRV skin temperature, menstrual and cycle tracking for women, subscription-free model options emerging this year as well. Why I think it's great is it's the most advanced non-screen wearable of 2025. So it's perfect for people who don't like smartwatches like you, but want deep wellness data. So I think it ticks that box. Smart rings definitely booming this year, but the Aura 4 remains the benchmark.
Interesting category.
Yeah, so
something, smart jewellery.
Something completely different, really. I mean, there's a lot being talked about it. There's a lot of nonsense talked about it as well. Like, I saw lots of stuff where they were saying, oh, so-and-so's wearing the Aura ring and it was a different ring and they've, you know, get this from it. So you have to kind of look hard for the correct information, but it does a lot.
Yes. It's really interesting, this, because I mean the metaglass is of course quite a stir where they're available, and in some ways they really are the sort of the future looking way of where this sort of display is going to work.
Yeah.
So that's really fascinating. But they're not available here, which goes a bit against them, I think, for this particular exercise. And and also I'm starting to really appreciate how rings, which only a few years ago were just really a bit of a joke, really. But now they're actually a very useful, non-intrusive way of getting all these in measurements that we're becoming increasingly interested in for our health for various other reasons. So I think because it is available here and because it's always showing up a bit of the future in another way, I'm going to go for the Aura ring on this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's just go through the winners then. For phones, we had the iPhone 17 Pro.
Yep.
Then we went to computing, where you went Lenovo.
Yes, we're going for the rollable laptop.
Okay. Then we had audio, where you picked the Apple AirPods Pro 3s.
Yep.
Then we went gaming, and you went Nintendo Switch 2.
Yep.
And then we went wearables, and you've gone Aura Ring 4.
Yes.
Of all of those gadgets, out of those five, which one would you pick as your gadget for 2025?
Because it almost sort of defines the year. I'm going to go with the Nintendo Switch 2.
Yeah, I think that's really
fair. I
think
that's fair.
It's got such a popular following.
And they could have dropped the ball. You know, they could have dropped the ball. It happens a lot in the gaming world. And it's a big deal, bringing together a novel, concoction of high-tech screen technology, internal chipsets and graphics, and then the pressure for them to do something unique with the Joy-Cons, which they did with the magnetic attachment, and then all the other stuff that they've got coming next year. They've announced the Virtual Boy as this really kooky novel add-on that I think people are going to really like and enjoy.
Hang on,
and the retro element of the Switch too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's draw a line into 2025, shall we, before you move on to 2026 with your crystal ball. Let's have a look at what we think is going to be trending next year, what we'll be able to get our hands on and actually physically play with and get to grips with. What will we be loving and talking about next year? Let's talk first, shall we, about home robots going mainstream.
What the heck? And that's not a line from a science fiction movie. It's really happening. I mean, we'll say 2026. Let's say that it could be the year when robots and even bipedal robots that are humanoid in nature start to appear in unexpected places. I'm not pretending that every home is going to have an Optimus from Elon Musk's staple,
or
a Neo,
or
an XPeng. These are all the names that we need to start getting ready to experience. But we're definitely getting there. Put it this way: robots in 2026 are starting to graduate from the floor, so from the vacuum cleaner, to becoming something that we start to see.
Yes.
In terms of a delivery context and a domestic context, they're already de rigueur in factories around the world, and they should be making an appearance in the domestic scene very, very soon.
That would be interesting. I mean, yes, it could be the year that, Tesla give up on cars and concentrate on robots.
Well, he keeps talking about it, but then, I remember the demo of Neo, and it was actually ridiculous in my view, because the robot was opening a dishwasher. And it couldn't really open the dishwasher, and it couldn't really grab the plates or the cups or whatever, the mug, I can't quite remember. And that was with the aid of a telepresent human operator. So really, what are they doing other than trying to get some investment from some venture capitalists?
It could often be a sort of tipping point, the kind of where all these innovations really happen, they come together and everything becomes cheap enough and good enough. The people start wanting it. Just might happen.
Well, do you think 2026 is the year where they stop becoming a novelty and become reality, or do you think it's too soon a timeline?
You know what? Bubbles, tech bubbles burst because of the lack of actual understanding meets reality, right? So our desire for something to be whatever it is that it's predicted to be.
Okay, so you want a robot to put the bins out, let's say.
Yeah, meets the reality that it's not that. And that was what the dot-com bust was. It's because all of these companies, you just had to say that you had a dot-com and you got investment straight away. AI is like that now, isn't it? When anyone says they've got an AI startup, they're not going to look far to get financial investment. That will continue until suddenly these robots just haven't yet materialized. The Neo is still telepresently operated on, operated by a remote human. The Optimus is another year away. The delivery robots don't really deliver well over cracks in the pavement. These things will get to the point where even Elon, with all of his bravado, can't sell the dream to us. And not only will we not see robots then for a year or two or three or 4 years, rather than next year, but the entire AI bubble will burst and there'll be a huge market crash, which will affect the entire world economy. That's my honest view on it. So I'm not going to predict that 2026 is the year of the robot, but if you listen to what they say, we should see some innovation in that sector in the next 12 months.
Okay, we'll leave it there and move on to foldable phones. With a big rumour, of course, that's getting stronger and stronger, that Apple in 2026 could finally enter the foldable game. And no, not a gimmick, a proper premium foldable iPhone Fold, iPhone Air Fold, or even a foldable iPad Mini first. I mean, you know, who knows? And what do you feel about this? John, do you have got any thoughts about this for next year?
Well, I'm sure they're certainly not going to do it until they either can claim they've reinvented it or they can make it so reliable and sort of bulletproof that it's not going to be something you're going to get fed up with, you know, and that the hinge won't break and all that sort of thing. They're going to want to get all that absolutely right, because they've been quite resistant, haven't they? The markets have been quite resistant to them in spite of the fact they are available. I think usually because of a few other compromises.
You need that crease-free design, don't you?
Yes, but maybe Apple will do it without the compromises. Yeah.
I've always been cold on this.
I know.
I've never been able to imagine
it. You've been cold on it and I've been quite hot on it.
Yeah. And the Samsung got it right, didn't they? And for a select band of Samsung customers, they absolutely love these phones. And I just don't see a need for it. I don't see a need to fold my smartphone in half. I don't have a big smartphone. I've got the slightly smaller one. I've got the Pro, but I don't have the Pro Max. And mine's an iPhone 16 Pro, I think. I can see an argument for your mini iPad so that you're getting a bigger screen more manageably proportioned by nature of the Fold. But I just can't predict it because I just don't know.
Okay. Well, that's fair enough. I think, you know what it is for me? Because I don't travel with an iPad or I don't travel with a tablet. So I have my laptop and I have my phone. And I end up on watching quite a lot of stuff on my phone.
Yeah.
Which is too small. So if I could fold it to double, I would like that.
If you could fold it to double and it was, like you say, John, crease-free.
And the hinge doesn't, you know, break.
And it just opened out a luxurious display.
Just think of all the times you turn your phone round to get things a bit bigger. Well, I do anyway.
Yeah, I do too.
To landscape. Yeah, yeah. Then you'd be like, turn it round and then unfold it, it'd be still bigger sort of thing.
Or what about this? If you were Apple, 2027, 20 years, could it be an anniversary drop? Would that make sense? You're just not sexed up on this at all, are you?
I'd be so underwhelmed. How about this? The Vision Pro AR glasses.
It could happen.
A point release. An absolute game-changing device like the iPhone was.
Well, that would be game-changing. What do you think?
But I've been saying that for ages. It never happens.
I know, but it's the 20th anniversary. Do you think they're going to do something special?
One would hope so, yes.
When the dream makers aren't making dreams anymore, I think what might take their thunder is whatever Sam Altman and Johnny Ive are working on.
And a lot of other stuff from Apple that have been poached recently, I've been reading about.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Right, let's talk about gaming hardware next year then. Gaming hardware going portable, powerful and weird maybe.
Well, it's all about Steam, isn't it? It's about Valve, the Steam machine. So a super small square, you know, like a kind of modern reinterpretation of the GameCube, that can play your Steam library brilliantly more than well enough for modern TVs, with some really lovely features like a great sort of intelligent LED lighting display that can show you things like games loading and things like that. A really good, fast, reliable way of connecting a controller up to it, which isn't just Bluetooth, a much more advanced connection system than that. And just that brilliant Steam game library interface that's so pleasurable to use, and that I personally, as a customer of Steam, have invested loads of money, probably far too much, in an exhaustive library of games that are very recent innovations and a retro catalogue going back, you know, decades. So I'm fully invested in the Steam machine, and if it's a reasonable price. And that's interesting because the speculation of the price is all over the place at the moment. Mm. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. I'm really convinced that Valve will nail this. I'm also, though, understandably very excited about Steam Frame, right, which is their kind of Steam Deck that you wear on your face in the form of a virtual reality helmet. I'm slightly underwhelmed by the use of a black and white pass-through, so the cameras are black and white, not the colour that you get on, well, the Vision Pro, it's beautiful, that is, and the Oculus Quest 3, because I do like augmented reality games. There's a game called Demio. There's a new Dungeons & Dragons version of Demio, and you can kind of place the assets, you know, on your table in your real front room. So if my wife walks in, I can see her, but my game's still there. That's what I'm talking about. Well, that with black and white cameras ain't going to work, is it? Although they do say you can upgrade that via this little front port they've got on the front. But the Steam Frame, a virtual reality helmet, which was called Project Deckard, and I've watched for the last couple of years doing its innovation, I am extremely excited about, and it seems like a worthy upgrade to the Valve Index, which was their previous headset. New controllers that are really cool. So, yeah, and they've also got a Bluetooth controller as well to add to that. So three products from Steam for 2026, predicted to come out, actually coming out, will be well-priced for, you know, from a company with a great track record. Super exciting.
Well, that's it for our 2026 foldables, robots, AR glasses, and maybe even a new invention.
What a year it's going to be!
No! Well, or it might be, might not be.
Yeah. Might be expensive.
I mean, if half of that hits the shelves, it's going to be fun, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be really exciting.
It is going to be exciting. All right, looking forward to it.
Okay, so that's us done for the year. Can you believe that, Susie and John?
It's gone so fast.
It's mad. Hard to believe we've crunched through 12 months of gadgets, grumbles and glorious nonsense. Huge thank you to the absolute legends that are CX. Genuinely, what a great partner they are. Thank you so much for powering the Gadget Show podcast in 2025.
Before we vanish for our well and lie down, we need to show some love for our supporting Patreon members.
Oh, we love you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Our hardcore gadget gang who keep this show humming along.
John, can you kick us off? Could you give us a bit of a shout out for some of our supporters, pop them in the spotlight.
An absolute pleasure. Yes, massive thanks and big year-end cheers. We're going out to Martin Budnarovsky, Peter Pinner, Timmy Bigger, Dave Green, and Ren Mandigore.
Well done, John.
I'll take the next batch then. Huge shout-outs to Colin Jones, Gordon Packer, Richard Martin, Simon Ryland, Philip Eddington, Richard Wykes, and Danny Rushton. You're absolute champs.
We love you guys. And rounding things off, huge thank you to Stephen Green, Tall Man with Glasses, Andrew Bamford, and Duncan Bell. Thank you so much.
If you want to join the crew, you can unlock the bonus episodes, the extras, and the lovely ad-free feed. Just head to patreon.com/thegadgetshow and you'll be in the most finest company.
Believe it or not, that is a wrap for 2025. John, thank you so much for spending time with us. Have a brilliant new year, everyone. And we'll see you in 2026 for even more Gadget Mayhem.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
The Gadget Show podcast with Jason and Susie was presented by Jason Bradbury and Susie Perry off the telly. It was produced by Ewan Keel and Tom Clint and is a North One production.